Yeah, better financial regulation, but who's in charge?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Everybody wants to prevent the next financial meltdown, but boy, is that hard to actually do. This morning, three of the big players are testifying to Congress, and they do not agree on how to better regulate the financial services industry. The three bigwig regulators are Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, SEC Chair Sheila Bair, and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Marketplace's Alisa Roth joins us live to tell us what they're disagreeing about. Good morning, Alisa.
Good morning.
So what are some of the ideas first that are on the table?
Well, there are a whole slew of things being discussed. Who's watching out for the consumer? Who's in charge of the banks? Who should oversee all this? One of the key issues is whether to give the Federal Reserve more power. Right now, the Fed oversees bank holding companies. So those are companies that own more than one commercial bank. But the new regulations would give the central bank power over not just holding companies, but also any other big firm that, if they failed, could put the whole economy at risk.
And who is against the idea of the Federal Reserve taking the lead on this?
There are people who say the Fed really messed up by not preventing the current crisis, and so it should just stick with its main mandate of dealing with monetary policy. The other issue is that by giving the Fed more power, that would mean some other agencies have to give up some of their authority, and not surprisingly, those agencies aren't so excited about that option.
And what would be an alternative?
Some people say there should be a new interagency oversight council. The Fed would be part of that council, but so would the Treasury Department and the SEC and the FDIC.
Okay. Alisa Roth joining us live. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, Wall Street is coming off such a big day yesterday. Let's check back in. Not so much today. The S&P 500 is down 0.8%. The NASDAQ is taking it much more. It's down twice that, 1.5%. That's after quite a run-up, though, the last dozen days for the NASDAQ. The Dow is down 41 points at 9,028. Microsoft and Amazon came in with some relatively disappointing earnings yesterday after the close. Today, Asian stocks gained 1% to 2%. Major European markets are mixed now. Congress is facing a deadline next week to keep government R&D money flowing to small businesses. There is a battle brewing over whether any of that funding ought to go to firms backed by venture capitalists, those powerful wheeler-dealers of the high-tech economy. From the entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman has our story.
The Small Business Innovation Research Program sets aside nearly $2 billion a year for everything from robotics to weapons research. Until now, only independently owned firms could qualify. The House bill would let in companies that have significant venture capital funding or are even controlled by VCs.
Just because you get venture financing doesn't mean you're rolling in the money.
Mark Heeson heads the National Venture Capital Association. He says startups often can't make it without VC money, but that shouldn't cut them off from government R&D. Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League says small businesses face enough challenges already.
I don't think we need a federal law that changes the definition of a small business to include firms that are actually owned by not only some of the nation's wealthiest investors, but potentially some of the largest VC firms.
A Senate bill maintains most current restrictions. If the chambers can't compromise, they'll probably extend the program as is into the fall. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
President Obama has told the healthcare industry to move away from paper records, switch over in the next 5 years to what's called EMR, electronic medical records. A lot of hospitals and clinics are actually way ahead of that five-year deadline. From WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner reports on one hospital there that flips a big digital switch today.
Did you need some ALIVs, dear?
No, I'm feeling good right now.
You feel okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Hiller has terrible nausea after his latest round of chemo and has been at Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee for about a week.
I was diagnosed with advanced throat cancer back in January of 2005. So every day since then, it's been a steady uphill climb, you know, fighting for my life, I guess.
have this wristband on, and I understand right. they scan
it's
that.
It's a barcode type of situation, yeah. It basically looks like a barcode, a little abstract painting.
One click on the barcode brings up all of Hiller's medications. Starting today, that one click will bring up his entire chart. That's because the hospital is making a switch from handwritten patient notes to electronic records that can be accessed anywhere. Dr. Dennis Maiman has been involved in the transition.
There, admittedly, those will say that they don't want to bother with it, they don't like computers, they don't like, that's tough. That's tough. If you want to practice medicine in the not-so-distant future and you don't want to use the EMR, you will not be practicing medicine. That's the way it is.
Maiman is chief of neurosurgery at Fraidert. He says the biggest benefit with EMRs is better communication. Everyone involved in a patient's care knows right away what's going on, what drugs the person's taking, and what tests were done. Dr. Maiman says electronic records save time and leave a lot less room for costly medical mistakes.
Now when I talk to a patient, I can type in a message. What I've said to the patient is that when that patient calls back the next day to talk to one of the nurses because he or she didn't understand what I said, there it is.
Fraidert Hospital in Milwaukee has spent $70 million so far on its EMR project. Another local system has spent more than $150 million. There are still some hurdles. In Milwaukee, the different systems don't necessarily talk to each other, and that's the next big challenge. Officials say an integrated system across different facilities could save billions by lowering the number of duplicate tests and treatments. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
Workers at a French air cargo company detained their boss overnight last night at a Paris airport so they could more urgently press upon him their demands for a better layoff package. Something similar happened earlier this year at the French plants of Sony, 3M, and Caterpillar. The popular English term for this is boss napping. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Checking the Dow again, it's down 58 points, still above 9,000, though, at 9,011. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I hope you have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.